Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your program, and it is Surah Yasin. Alhamdulillah, we turn to verse 20 of Surah Yasin, verse 20, 21, 22. So let's start. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Fa'idha qara'ta al-Qur'an, fasta'idhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. When you recite the Quran Sharif, then read, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Verse 20, we spoke about this verse already. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. A person came from the furthest part of the city. أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. So this means the furthest part of the city. رَجُلٌ, a man came from the furthest part of the city. يَسْعَى, in the state where he had an objective. He was walking with a purpose. He had some intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this ability that we always walk with an intention. You walk about and you just haphazardly with no purpose in life. No, our purpose should be corrected. And our intention should be that we want to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he was walking with a purpose. And what was his purpose? Now we've explained to you a little bit. He suffered. He had a sickness. He had leprosy. And these messengers came. They were passing and they saw him. And he said, you know what? You're calling me towards this. I've been worshipping. He's saying, I've been worshipping my idols for 70 years and there's no real response. How you are just going to make dua, supplicate, and instantly I'm going to get shifa, cure? So they said, and they speak of Tawheed, who is Allah. See, they utilized this moment not for their personal pockets, not for their personal benefits. The objective was this, how to connect men with Allah. This is the objective, primary function of a messenger. To take the message to the people, to connect them with Allah Azza wa Jal. And what they have to do and what they have to refrain from doing to connect to Allah Azza wa Jal. So, they came, they said, look, they gave him hope. He said, okay. He got shifa. He got shifa. His heart is now filled with conviction, yaqeen. And at this juncture, I didn't even intend to speak about it, but Allah Azza wa Jal put this thought in my mind to say that we have a brother who has had a similar experience. Our brother Ammar, who comes on. Do you know who is Ammar? From Lanesia? Ammar used to worship idols. And he had an eye problem. It became so severe. He didn't know what to do, and his job entails that he has to deal with computers, with laptop. And when you know your job is to see a computer screen and you having this challenge of your eyes, with your eyes, your focus now is turning also towards what's going to happen to me. I'm going to lose my job also then. Understand this. So then, this worry and concern. Anyway, he was closely in touch with one of the family members. And they were working together. So, he made a lot of effort on this brother Ammar, gave him hope, gave him, made dua for him, and he got shifa. He got shifa. When he got shifa, then his iman was activated. And he said, no, I have to bring iman. You know what's your iman like at that point? Do you know what your iman is like at that? Just recently, not so long ago, he fasted. This was not even in Ramadan. We used to have adult classes, and it was mainly to get the elderly people to activate. And he's still young, but I'm just saying that to activate our people towards deen. He told us in one of those lessons, it's about more than 90 days that he's fasted. He loves to fast. If you speak to a non-Muslim, you just speak to them and say, what would be, if you have to accept Islam, what would stop you? They'll say, you know, fasting is a bit difficult. For us, even as Muslims, because think about it, but it's only Allah that grants us that courage to do it. That's the barakah of Ramadan. Allah helps us. It's not me. It's not me. It's Allah that has helped us. That is why it's good to say at this point, Mulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh had mentioned this. We heard it from those who spend time in the company of Mulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh. Mulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh had said that, look, you have a child. This child is trying to pick up a brick, but the brick is too heavy. The father wants to make that child believe he can do it. So he comes from behind and somehow he manages to help that child to pick up the brick without that child knowing that the father is helping him. And the son is picking up the brick and he feels so elated. He goes and screams to his mother, "I picked up the brick." The father is winking to this child's mother, his wife, meaning this man's wife, and saying, "I helped him." But let him, just to get his confidence. Ramadan is just this. Any other month, you can't just fast 25 days. Any other month, you can't do what you are doing now. You can't wake up for 4 o'clock in the morning. The mothers cannot wake up. The wives cannot wake up at that time to prepare meals at any other time. Any other time of the year, I'm saying at that particular 4 o'clock, if you take other days of the year, let's say days rather, you can't do it. It's very difficult. The barakah of it. Allah helps you. Allah is helping us do all of this. Let's put our full attention on Allah. Now come to this. Generally, and why is it so difficult? It's difficult because you know every day at this time I must have my tea. Every day at this time. So, but Allah makes it easy because of your iman. Now a non-Muslim, he'll say, hey, that the fasting is quite a challenge. But for Brother Ammar, he says, I love to fast. He has that relationship with fasting. Allah reward him. So he then accepts Islam. But I'm saying when you are sick or some calamity hits you and then Allah takes you out of it, your iman is boosting. That is the point I wanted to make here. And we know someone of this nature. And today when you speak to him, he says, you know what that family member had done, meaning our family member, what he had done for me, I can never ever repay him. And he's totally grateful for that. Because he was the means for him to get iman. For Ammar to get iman. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept him. So this, remember we said his name was Habib al-Najashi. Habib al-Najari. So he was a carpenter. When he accepts Islam, he's boosting. He comes running. And then people were rejecting because we saw in verse number 19, verse number 18 and 19, Verse number 18 told us, قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. We take you as a bad omen for us. And if you do not, لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهُ لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيْمَسَنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. If you do not desist, we're going to definitely, we're going to stone you, and you're going to be afflicted with a heavy, heavy penalty from us, a painful punishment from us. So verse 19 told us what they had said. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. In fact, so these messengers said, the bad omen is with you. Now come to verse 20. This person, he gets shifa from his leprosy, and he's seeing these people reject. And now he is the real eyewitness of his own body to see leprosy, skin problems on the one side, and now total shifa. He's brimming with iman. And he's saying, he screams to his nation, Qala, he says, Ya qawmi, O people, O nation, O my nation, ittabi'ul mursaleen, follow, obey the messengers. And follow now, he gives two reasons, Ya why. Ittabi'u man la yas'alukum ajra. Follow, so this is verse 21. Follow those who do not claim any reward from you. They don't want any dunyawi objective, ulterior motive. They just have this well-wishing thoughts for you to connect you with Allah. Wahum muhtadun, and they are on the right path. He understood this because he witnessed it himself with his own eyes, with his own body, his own emotions. Now look, when we go to verse 22, he addresses in such a manner. This is an effective way. If you want to address a crowd, you want to bring people, then what must you do? What they say? Your tongue is closest to your own ear. If I'm telling you something, that means it's going to hit my heart first. It's supposed to. And if it doesn't, then we fall under that category which we're just preaching, but we have no intention to even rectify. So that is the major, major problem then it comes in. But to speak, if I'm commanding something, but I'm also commanding because I know this is what is right, I'm well, a well-wisher for you, there's no ulterior motives, I'm not asking, but I'm giving you this command, and in my heart, I also want to come about to practice this, then this year, there's nothing wrong with this. It won't fall under that verse where you are. Why are you saying something which you do not do? You are doing it because you want to implement it. And you'll see so many times, do it with that intention, and you'll feel guilty with my heart that I'm saying this, and I'm not doing it. I should be doing it. Then you look at the life of Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, a father frustrated with his son. Son, child eats sweets the whole day. He says, come, I'm taking you to Hakimul Ummah. He takes him to Hakimul Ummah. He says, this boy, my son, doesn't want to stop eating. Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali says, go, come back after 3 days. They go, they come back after 3 days. After 3 days, he says, now this is Hakimul Ummah. He says, he gives him some advice. Oh boy, why are you doing this, this, this? Makes dua, everything, gone. The father comes back. He said, but it was strange. You told us this. You could have told us this three days ago. Why are you telling us this only now? With respect, he said it, because he was sincere. So he said, look, let me tell you something. I love all these sweetmeats myself. I'm going to instruct your son to stop doing it. I could have did it, but then I have that guilty conscience in my own heart that I'm doing this and I'm telling someone else not to do it. So I said, give me 3 days. Let me stop it for 3 days and then I will tell your son. So it will have a more effective way. Turn to verse 22. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون.
What's he addresses himself? And what excuse do I have? What is wrong with me? What excuse do I have if I do not worship the one who has created me and to whom you will be returned? What I'm saying to you is, sometimes, instead of addressing the person, nobody likes to be addressed directly. You have to at times, but another way, and at times you should implement this also in your practices when you're calling people towards Allah. Start to address yourself. Look within your own heart and say, what's wrong with me? If I am that I do not worship the one who has created me and to him who I am, whom I'm going to be returned to. Another point here. Sometimes the pressure, because you want to implement something, you want to go into parda, you want to go into change your life, you want to grow a beard, you want to change your dress. What is that real barrier that is stopping you? Most of the time, it is what is people going to say? What is people? Sometimes those thoughts come about and you want to do it. Hey, but people are going to say this about me. Then you have to, at that point, you have to ask yourself, what's wrong with me that I, what is worshipping? Worshipping is following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obeying the commands of Allah. What is wrong with me that I'm not worshipping Allah the way I'm ought to be worshipping Allah? What is wrong with me? Ask yourself this question. So sometimes you're addressing others, then this also works. Sometimes to console yourself, to build that confidence in yourself, you have to address yourself too. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.